Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft Podcast. So much stuff going on in free agency right now. It's crazy, and it didn't even start yet, all of which has a big-time impact on the draft. We'll get to your wide receiver preview momentarily. First, I got to make sure everybody knows that my co-host is the star, Fran Duffy. He is the video scouting guru for the Philadelphia Eagles and can be followed on Twitter at FDuffy3. I am merely a former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years. Started to scout the O-lineman, though, Fran. I'm getting ready for next week or the week after. Whenever we do the O-lineman, I got 3 guys down, at least 3 more to go, which is fun. We're presented, by the way, by the Scouting Academy. It's very simple. If you've ever had even a tiny inkling that you might want to get involved in scouting or give it a try at the NFL or college levels, you got to check out scoutingacademy.com. Or even if you just want to know more about what you're watching when you're watching college or NFL or whatever, highly encourage you to click on the link at rostucker.com, because when you do click on the Scouting Academy logo there, you get $50 off summer registration if, in fact, you choose to go ahead and give it a shot. Just go to rostucker.com, click the logo, and just check it out. Jerry Angelo, Wade Phillips, Louis Riddick, Mike Martz, some of the guys that have taught there. Absolutely unbelievable. Speaking of unbelievable, Fran, before we even get into the wide receivers, I understand you have a question for me. You want to come to the all-knowing master about a question, evidently.
Yeah, it's true. And really, it's just because it's a topic that I think has really just kind of taken off, especially over the last few weeks, especially, honestly, last week with all the reported deals that the Cleveland Browns made to end last week. When you look at the Cleveland Browns and what they've got right now, what they're facing, they've got the number 1 pick, they've got the number 4 pick. It looks like they may have Tyrod Taylor in tow based on the reports. When you look at that, does that change your mind in terms of how you think they should approach their first two selections? Do you think that they need to go quarterback number 1, or do you feel like they can go with a player that I know you're a big fan of in Saquon Barkley? Or, you know, if it's Bradley Chubb or Nick Minka Fitzpatrick or Quentin Nelson, whoever it is, someone else at that number 1 spot, and then, quote unquote, just get a quarterback at number 4. How do you feel about that whole topic?
I feel very strongly that they have to get a quarterback at number 1. Very strongly. I'll tell you why. Number 1, and a couple different things, right? Number 1, Tyrod Taylor's on a 1-year deal, and the fact to me that they got Tyrod Taylor on a 1-year deal makes it even more obvious that they're going to take a quarterback high in the draft. Like, if they had signed A.J. McCarron to a 4-year deal, that could theoretically have given them some options in that regard, right? They could have been a little bit more. But the fact that they not only took Tyrod Taylor, got Tyrod Taylor via trade, but also that they traded DeShone Kizer. So it's not like, hey, we're going to get A.J. McCarron on a 3-year deal. We're going to keep working with Kizer. No. McCarron's out. Kizer's out. And now it's Tyrod for 1 year. And I'm sure they hope Tyrod plays well. I think a lot of that is just to try to change the culture, to win some games, try to get some momentum going and a positive vibe with these guys, and also have no rush to play whoever they take number 1 overall. I've heard a lot of people suggest, well, hey, they can get a quarterback at number 4. And, you know, maybe they like a couple of these guys or a few of these guys. And they can just, you know, get Barkley or whoever at 1 and then get a guy at 4. That, to me, is not very strong logic. Because even if they have the guys graded closely, Fran, which is a possibility, deep down, they'll know which guy they like the most. It's never the case where you're like, oh, we're fine either way. They say that. It's not true. They know the guy that they want more, and you cannot take the chance. How awful would you feel if you don't get the guy that you like more? You don't know what the Giants are going to do at 2 or the Colts at 3 or any team like the Buffalo Bills trading up into one of those spots. The only thing they control is number one, and they need to control that. Take the quarterback that they like the most. Stop passing on these guys like they have the last couple years, and then see what the deal was for. They might even be able to trade down. Or if they take a quarterback at one, then either Barkley, Chubb, or Minka Fitzpatrick will be there for them at four.
And that's the thing, is that the whole idea of we'll just wait for whoever the next guy is at four. Like you said, they only really love. I mean, you know how this goes. You've been in an NFL locker room. You talk with people all around the league now. You know that coaches and GMs, scouting departments, when they do all their research on these guys and they meet with them, not just at the combine or the Senior Bowl, but also when they go to the pro day, when they have the private workout, when they bring them to their facility, you start to fall in love with one guy. Maybe it's at best, maybe it's two, but let's just say that they fall in love with two of these guys. Like you said, very easily, all three of the quarterbacks that went in the first round last year were selected based off of trade ups. The Houston Texans, the Buffalo, or the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Chicago Bears all traded up for their selections at the quarterback position. You can't guarantee that both of those guys will be there at number four, and so you have to take your guy at one. And to me, the whole idea of, well, what if they don't feel that any of these guys are difference makers? What if they don't feel that any of these guys are franchise quarterbacks? Well, that's just, look, we know that all four of these guys aren't going to be successful. I mean, the odds say that at least one or two of them at least are going to bust out. But if you're the Cleveland Browns, you have to do your due diligence, and you have to decide and have faith in your own scouting and your own evaluation that, you know what, we're going to select this guy, and we're going to put everything around him to succeed. You've already made some moves this offseason to help that guy succeed. Let's make sure that we put him in the best situation where he's not going to fail. Whether you feel that that's Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen or Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen, whoever that is, you've got to feel as a coaching staff, you know what, this is our guy. And to me, I think it would be silly for them to come out of this without having that number one quarterback. That would be ludicrous. And they know that they're being evaluated based on this decision. I mean, John Dorsey has said it, Hugh Jackson has said it. I mean, they know that they need a quarterback and that they're going to be evaluated on acquiring that quarterback this offseason. So to me, you can't mess around. As good as Saquon Barkley is, and I don't think there's any argument from either of us, if you were to stack him on a board, you know, position value thrown out the window, Saquon Barkley is going to be better than all these quarterbacks in terms of just how he's going to rank as an overall prospect. But the value of having even a good quarterback compared to a great running back is just higher, and there's no arguing that when it comes to trying to compete for a Super Bowl consistently year after year. You need to have quality play at the quarterback position.
Could not agree more. They got the number one pick, and I think that they will. I think that they know that. Everything else is just kind of conjecture. Now, they could, Fran, take Barkley at one, theoretically, and trade up with the Giants to two and take the quarterback there. That's a possibility. So there's a lot of different things that could happen, but one way or the other, they're getting their future quarterback. And by the way, they're going to win a decent amount of games this year while they get that guy ready, adding guys like Landry as well as clearly a guy like Tyrod Taylor. Let's get to the wide receivers with a little daddy soda time, Bri.
Daddy sodas.
All right, Fran, let's start with your favorite receiver to watch on film.
Well, for me, this year, that's going to be Calvin Ridley from Alabama. You know, he's 6'5". He's just under 190 pounds. So he doesn't have prototypical size. But the guy, to me, has a lot of the traits that you look for in terms of being a really good starter at the next level. He's an outstanding route runner, and he really improved there this year. I thought he was good as a sophomore. He was really good as a route runner this year. He's got a really good idea of how to separate at the top of his stem, not just using his quickness or his burst in a short area, but also just using his technique at the top of his stem to create that initial separation. Then you have the ability also to be able to get off the line, and that was an area that I would have liked to see him improve coming into the year. He got better, and once the ball is snapped, he gets off the line quickly. He's able to create separation. He's pretty consistent at the catch point. He had a couple drops this year, a little bit better than he was as a sophomore, but a couple drops that I'd like to see him get out of there. But then yards after catch is very good. He can attack the vertical part of the field. He ran 4.44 at the combine, which I thought was a pretty good time. I think he can attack downfield regardless of what the 40 looked like. I think overall, when you look at him, maybe he's not a truly special athlete, but you're talking about a guy that has all of the traits that you look for at a wide at the wide receiver position, especially for a guy that wins in the quote unquote small game, you know, the, creating that separation, winning yards after catch. I think he could be a quality Z or slot receiver at the next level. Kind of reminds me a little bit. Obviously, Amari Cooper, I kind of see as well, but I to me almost reminds me of Nelson Agholor here in Philadelphia. I think that they share a lot of very similar traits. And to me, I think Ridley can be a similar type of player from what we've seen Agholor be this year in 2017.
Any concerns, Fran, about what some people thought was a subpar combine for him, and why did they feel that way?
Well, the reason why they felt that way, yeah, the 40 time was good. You know, that was a fine time. You're on a fine three cone, but the short shuttle was very, very bad, and the jumps were very, very bad. And I thought it was interesting, Ross. None of the Alabama guys tested well in the vertical jump. You know, you look at pretty much across the board, almost all those guys didn't test well. And really, when you talk to coaches around the league, you start to see that vertical jump is a measure of power, not strength. And when you look at the vertical jump, that could just be a matter of how those Alabama guys have trained throughout the course of their entire career in terms of why, you know, those vertical jump numbers just weren't good. You could look at Minka. You could look at Rashawn Evans. You can look at really across the board at all these Alabama kids that came out this year. The vertical jump just wasn't very good across the board. So when you looked at the rest of those numbers, they were so bad that kind of sunk his, you know, like when you talk about spark score and things like that, his overall athletic composite score sunk because of how bad some of those other drill times were. But look, overall, I thought he caught the ball fairly well in position drills. I mentioned all the receiver traits that really stand out to me on film. I think this guy is still at the top of the group. I will say, though, that I think that the gap is a little bit shorter between Ridley and guys like DJ Moore and Christian Kirk than maybe we would have thought, but even as early as November, December. I think the gap is pretty thin.
You mentioned Christian Kirk. You always have a guy that's underrated by the media. Who's that this year?
That's me. It is Kirk. And to me, when I watch Christian Kirk, I see a guy that reminds me in a lot of ways of Brandon Cooks. And I do think that he can attack down the field. That was the main thing that people had the question about was, hey, this is a guy that only averaged 12.2 yards per catch. He worked out of the slot for A&M. He was a short and intermediate pass catcher. Is he going to be able to work in the deep part of the field? I think that he can be that. I've watched him really every year that he's played with the Aggies going back to his freshman season. I know you watched him in his very first game against Arizona State opening week of 2015. And when you watch Christian Kirk, yeah, that's how he was used. He was a short and intermediate guy. You see the quickness. You see the ability to create separation. I think he's a pretty good route runner. He can get a little bit better, but I think he's a pretty good route runner. Very good after the catch. Again, some of those same things we talked about with Ridley. The vertical speed was the big question that people had based off how he's used. He goes to the combine. He runs 4.46. Then just like Ridley, some of those other scores just didn't match up with what you necessarily saw on film. The short shuttle drill, the three cone drill was bad. The broad jump was bad. Everything across the board just was not impressive. So people are a little bit down on Christian Kirk. He's just over 5'10". So people are going to question the size. He's going to win in a certain way. But I think if he goes to the right situation, you're talking about a guy that can be an impact player in a passing game just because of the skill set that he brings to the table. I'm a big fan of Christian Kirk. I'm higher on him than most in the media.
All right, who's a guy that you like, but for whatever reason, something about him scares you?
Yeah, DJ Chark is getting a lot of pub. He obviously ran very well at the combine. Overall, one of the better testers in Indianapolis. He had a good week at the Senior Bowl, and he's got that vertical ability. There aren't a lot of guys in this class at the receiver position that have that verticality to him, but I'd like to see DJ Chark clean up a lot of areas of his game. He's not as clean a route runner as I would like to see. Obviously, the production was not always there, although I think that had to do more with the scheme in LSU than anything else. But I'd like to see him get better with his releases and his route running. He had a couple drops that I would like to see taken off the board as well. DJ Chark, intriguing player, just not all the way there yet.
Okay, how about the safest player in your mind?
To me, that Deshaun Hamilton is a player that is really intriguing. Yeah, the drops are an issue, and that's been an issue for him. But when you look at the way that he plays, I think that his game translates really well to the NFL. You know, he's a silky smooth route runner. I think he's one of the best route runners in this class. He's really good off the line of scrimmage. I think athletically, he's got the traits that you want for a guy that can play in the slot or on the outside. kind of reminds me in a lot of ways of Robert Woods coming out of USC. I think Woods will probably got drafted higher than what we'll see Hamilton in a few weeks, but he's a really intriguing player that to me has a very high floor at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I've seen, you know, ahead of the Penn State Pro Day, Fran, there's already been some talk about him saying he's a he plays faster than his time speed. I think he knows he's not going to run a great 40.
You know how that goes.
He's already setting like the table for that. let's go. You know what, though? I will say this. Watching him, he plays pretty fast. He really does.
He does. No question.
He plays plenty fast enough. All right. Give me a guy that you feel like is scheme specific.
Yeah. Dante Pettis from Washington. He is a guy that I've been a big fan of since the summer. He's 6 foot and a half. He's 186 pounds. He's light. But you're talking about a guy who really has a good understanding of what he's doing as a route runner. I love watching him work, especially in the middle of the field, setting up defenders out in space, and then also in traffic. I think he does a really good job of creating that initial separation. He plays the ball extremely well in the air. He's got outstanding ball skills. He didn't catch any. He barely lets the ball hit the ground. I'm a big fan of it. The size will be an issue. He's also a great returner. So he brings that to the table as well. So couldn't work out of the combine because of an injury. We'll see when he is able to work out. Hopefully it'll be sometime before April's draft. But to me, he's a guy that I think translates really well. He's going to be a slot player. So some people are going to see that. Oh, he's going to catch 35, 40 balls. He could go to New England and catch 90. So depending on where he lands, that will ultimately determine his production. But I think he's going to fit really well in the slot.
Let's go to some day three gems, or at least one day three gem in your mind.
Ross, do you remember, can you give us a quick scouting report of a guy who played the era that you did, and that's Joe Horn, the veteran from the New Orleans Saints, the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you remember what he brought to the game?
I remember him being very feisty, very physical, a good route runner. Good hands. I don't remember him having any, outstanding physical trait that really stood out.
Yep. So to me, he reminds me so much, this kid, of Joe Horn, and that's Jordan Lastly from UCLA. He is 6'1", he's 203 pounds, he's got pretty good length. His speed, I don't think it is something that I know a lot of people talk about his speed because of his yards per catch. He averaged almost 17 yards a catch in his career. But I didn't watch him and say, wow, this kid is a burner. That held up at the combine. He didn't run particularly well. He ran in the 4.5s. But when you look at this kid, I think he plays the ball really well in the air. He's very competitive in everything he does. He did have some off-the-field issues, and I think that that's going to get worked out. Honestly, I think that's why he falls to day three. But Jordan Lastly is a guy that really, really intrigues me because of his size, his speed, and his ability to play the ball in the air. They're all good, nothing great. Like what you said with Joe Horn, nothing that really kind of sets him apart. It makes you say, wow, but he's just really solid across the board. I think the kid's really intriguing.
All right, I like this category, the three for one, which is basically just three more guys you want to talk about that didn't fit into one of the other categories.
Yeah, a lot of the guys we talk about, Ridley and Kirk and Pettis, they're all on the smaller side. So I figured for this one, we talk about guys that win, you know, in the big man's game. And Cortland Sutton from SMU is at the top of the list for me. I've been really impressed with him really every step of the way. You know, you look at his sophomore year, I thought he was pretty good on film. I thought he improved this year as a junior. Then he goes to the combine. He tests better than I think a lot of people thought he would. I was impressed with him when I was talking to him in person. He just looks the part, sounds the part, feels the part in terms of a starting NFL receiver. I love the way he plays the ball in the air. He's a guy that I think should be off the board and somewhere in the top 50 picks. Then you look at another kid who I think is really intriguing on film as well, and that's Auden Tate from Florida State. I would say that the process has not been as kind to Auden Tate. And he goes to the combine. He has a terrible workout at the combine. In drill work, I thought he was pretty good. He caught everything that was close to him. That's what he looked like on film. He's got great size. Some people think he might be a tight end now at this point after seeing him work out. He's not a burner, obviously, at the receiver spot, but a guy who catches everything thrown his way. Some teams are going to view that as a guy that can be a weapon. I'm going to be interested to see where Tate lands. And then the last one is James Washington, who a lot of people had locked into the first round of the draft just a couple months ago. I never really saw him that way, but I've always really liked him as a player. You know, you see he's got great hands. He wins with strength and length at the point of contact or the point of the catch. Really, really intriguing in terms of what he can be He's just not all the way there yet as a route runner. He needs to get better off the line of scrimmage and press coverage. I'd like to see him get a little bit better in the middle of the field as well. He was more of a perimeter guy. Can he be a middle of the field player in the NFL level? Otherwise, if he can be, and if he can improve in some of those areas, I think he can be a Pierre Garçon type because of his build, his physicality after the catch, all kind of remind me of Garçon. Garçon's a technician. Washington is not at this point. So I think that that's really the big thing there. But from a physical standpoint, I think James Washington is a really intriguing player.
That'll do it for the college draft this week. As always, you can catch Fran on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. And your best move really is just to follow him on Twitter at FDuffy3. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Hopefully a lot of you also check out our other shows like the Even Money podcast for gambling. We even have some NFL draft bets that we discussed last week. The Fantasy Feast podcast, which had some crazy information last week about the GPS data, the mile per hour for guys like Leonard Fournette. And then also, of course, the Ross Tucker football podcast. Other than that, the keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chug, 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 chug.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
Hello, guys. It's MMA fighter Chael Sonnen. Check out my podcast, You're Welcome, with Chael Sonnen every Wednesday and Friday right here at Podcast One. We cover the latest in mixed martial arts and everything else going on in the world of sport. Listen free to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen, exclusively available on Apple Podcasts, at PodcastOne.com, and on the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.